If you have a Bible with you, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to be reading from verse 19. And if you've been with us either all of the Sunday mornings or you've been in and out with holidays and things, you'll know that we've been looking at, on the Sunday mornings, we've been looking at Kings of Summer. And we're looking through the books of 1 and 2 Kings and taking some of the stories and the life examples that are there. And we've been looking at different things. We've looked at Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah. And today I just want to take a little look at the life of Elisha. And really the call of Elisha and that instance when Elijah comes along to him. So we're going to have a look at that and draw a few thoughts and a few challenges from this particular story. So it's 1 Kings 19, verse 19 through to 21. And there the story says, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant." So within even these couple of verses, there's a couple of things going on that I just want to draw out from them. And a few issues. So I've got 4 points, so you know where we're going, okay? So you know that if it gets to 1 o'clock and I'm still on point one, then you're panicking. Okay, so 4 things that I just want to bring out from this morning. And just as we've been learning from the lives of the other people mentioned within the books of 1 and 2 Kings, here's some lessons that I think we can learn from this story and some things that speak out to us. So firstly, what I want us to notice is number one, the call. So Elijah, we've all heard of Elijah on Mount Carmel. We've heard of his victories and even some of his downs as well, some of his struggles. And this comes straight after part of Elijah's struggle, and it comes with a recommitment to follow hard after God. Remember, he's been hiding away, but he hears the voice of God, and God commissions him to go and anoint Elisha as prophet and to go and anoint 2 new kings. And so he goes on his way, and this is where we've picked up the story. Elijah has come to where Elisha is, and he puts his mantle on him. And what seems, the language seems to suggest, and the story seems to suggest, that this was a very quick and unexpected thing. He didn't make an appointment with Elisha. He didn't ring him up. Of course, he didn't, because there wasn't phones then. But you know what I mean? He didn't make that appointment. He didn't kind of say, "Elisha, I have a big message for you. I need to go and talk to you." It was something that happened very sudden. He walked to where he was, and he threw his mantle or his cloak over him. And it seems actually what he does is the picture of the language seems to be that he comes along, takes off his coat, puts it over Elisha, and just keeps walking, right? And so maybe that doesn't make sense to us, what's going on, but Elisha would have known exactly what was happening, and he would have recognized Elijah, and he would have known the significance of the cloak being put over him. He would have known that Elijah was saying, "You're going to be what I am. You're going to have the calling that I have. You're going to walk in the footsteps that I've walked in. God is calling you." Elisha fully understood what was happening, but the call was sudden. In many ways, it was unexpected. He had gone out that day. It was a normal day. And yet Elijah comes, puts the mantle on him, and things change forever. There's a call on his life. He understood that he was being called away from what he was currently doing into something that God had for him. The call to follow the purposes and plans of God. And the call is a theme that's right throughout the Bible. We think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where God comes and he speaks to Abraham and calls him. He draws him away from the life that he's living and draws him into a new life, into a life of promise, a life of destiny, a life of so many adventures. He gets called out. I think of Esther, who was a queen, who gets called to step up into a really difficult situation, but has the potential and ends up rescuing and saving many, many lives. We think about the life of Peter and his fellow fishermen, and guys that had got it good, that had the miraculous catch of fish, and yet in Luke chapter 5, we know that Jesus says to him, "Now follow me." It's the call to walk away and to follow the things of God. It's a call into the purposes and a call into the plans of God. And so what I want to say this morning is this: God has a call for every single one of our lives. God has a call, but I want to break that into two areas. Number one, he's got a general call over all of our lives, the first of which is the call to salvation, that he is continually, like we've just sung, he's calling us to the cross. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, you've never said yes to follow him, to lay down your life and to walk after him, to believe in him, to receive him, and to walk into his family, and to trust in him for your salvation, well then you need to know that he is calling you. He is calling you to step into that. He is calling you to walk into a life of purpose and destiny, the life that you were created for. He is calling and drawing you towards forgiveness, towards a relationship with him, and towards the purpose and plan that he has for your life. And that's a call that's on all of us today. He's calling us. The first is to be saved. And then as saved people, those of us who have said yes to that call, there's still call on our lives that's general, that is true of all of us, that you can't deny and I can't deny. Scripture draws us as Christians into a calling. So let me give you a few examples of that. We're all called to be holy. So that's not just on me or Bill or someone else. We're all called to be holy. So if you're a believer today, if you're a Christian today, you've said yes to Jesus, then you're called to walk with him, to allow him to search your heart. And if there are things within your life that aren't consistent with a life that follows after God, then you're called to repent and to move towards a life of holiness. We're all called towards that. You, me, everybody. We are all called towards unity of the saints and the bond of peace, to walk together as Christians. And the next calling that I want to mention ties into that is that we're all called to the great command, which is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love others as yourself. So that's not just for me. I just don't have to love everybody. You do too. That seems to come as a shock to some of you there. You're like, what? Right? But that's a call that we're all called into. Okay, the call for me is to love everyone. The call for you is to love everyone. And not just to kind of love them, but to love them as I love myself. That agape love that God has shown me, then that's the call for us. Now, are you working towards it? You know, you're walking towards it. It's hard and it's difficult, but we're walking towards it. We understand this morning that that's a call that's on our lives. So in many ways, if somebody comes and asks you, what's the calling on your life? You've got lots of answers. Well, I'm called to love others as I love myself. Still working on it, but I'm called towards it. I'm called to the great command and the great commission to go and make disciples. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission wasn't just for a select few. The Great Commission was for all that would call Jesus their own. And so whether we have other ministry functions within our lives, the calling is still on us to reach the lost and make disciples. That's your call. That's my call. So my call as a pastor and a teacher, I still have a calling on my life to reach the lost. You have a calling, whether you're a worship leader, Sunday school teacher, whether you're a new Christian and you don't quite know where everything fits yet, that's a call that's on your life. It's the Great Commission. Now, I know that we can be a little bit selective at times over the different things, and I kind of want to challenge me, and I want to challenge you this morning, that we can't be selective over these areas. These are callings that we're all called into. We're all called. Amen. We're all called to love people, to love God, to make disciples of every nation. It's a calling that's on all of our lives. So there's general calls. Now, those are just a few examples, but I believe there's also a specific call. I believe that God has something specific for you and for me to do. There's a specific call. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. In Jeremiah 1:5, he talks to Jeremiah, and he's talking to Jeremiah specifically, and he's saying, even before you were conceived, I had appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah 1:5. Even before you were conceived, I had a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a specific purpose for our lives. In Psalm 139, we're reminded there that we've been knitted together in our mother's womb, that we've been wonderfully and marvelously and awesomely made. That, and what God has done, it goes on to say there that all the days that have been written for you are in his book before any one of them has come to take place. God has a destiny, a purpose, a plan for your life and for my life. In Ephesians 2:10, I love this scripture, so if you've been here long enough, you'll know it and it'll become a part of who you are. And it's that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared works that we haven't achieved yet. They're in advance, but he's created us for those purposes, for those plans. He's given us the gifting. He's given us everything that we need in order to do it. He's called us. There's a call on your life. It's not just one or two people. It's not just three or four people or a select group. God has a specific calling on your life. A specific calling. See, there's a call on my life, something that God is calling me towards, and there's a call on your life. Now, here's the thing, they're different. Okay, so God's call on my life is not going to be what God's call is on your life. They're going to be totally different. And so I've kind of wrestled with this message a little bit because I kind of want to put myself in your shoes all the time and go, you need to leave and you need to do this and think of all the things that I did to follow the call of God. But it's going to be different for all of us. So I'm going to talk a bit more about principles this morning rather than here's what I did. But we're all called. Now, some of you might be called to be the best mom there ever could be, to pray over your children, to be there when they get home, to love on them, to be the best grandmother that ever could have been. That might be your calling. Embrace it with everything you've got. Some of you, your calling might be to be a manager, to be a business owner, to be whatever it might be. All of us have callings, and it's not just church stuff. It's life. And some people's work is their calling. Some people work to fulfill their calling. Do you get that? But we're all called. We're all called to do the things of God. We're all called to fulfill the purposes and the plans of God. So there's that specific calling upon our lives. Now, like Elisha, we're left with number two, a choice. We're left with a choice. Will you follow? Will you take up the call? You see, what would Elisha do? So Elijah has walked. He's threw his mantle over him. And what must have been a bit bizarre for anybody else that was watching, comes, throws his cloak over him and keeps on walking. And Elisha's like, what am I going to do in this moment? What am I going to say? I understand that there's a call on my life. My goodness, what am I going to say? He's a choice to make. He has this conversation, which can seem a little bit bizarre then, with Elijah. He calls after him, and he says, can I first go and say goodbye to my parents? And Elijah kind of answers him a little bit strange. And if you read the story there, it doesn't make sense fully to us, but Elijah kind of says, what have I done to you? Part of me wants to go, you just threw the cloak over him. You've just changed his life forever. But actually, Elijah's trying to get something else through to Elisha. This wasn't me. I might have thrown the cloak over you, but this is a calling from God, not from me. And in Elijah's response, we see a man who's saying, I'm going to follow after the purposes and plans of God. I've done what God has told me to do. Now I'm off to do what God's calling me to do. The rest is up to you. And we're left with Elisha having a choice. A choice, what am I going to do? Elijah's saying, here's my mantle, will you take it up? Will you walk in and step into what God is calling you to be and to do? And so for some of us, there's a choice to be made. God has a call on our lives, a destiny, a purpose, a mantle, if you will. But will you take it up? For many of us, there's that choice to be made. See, what I see in this passage is not a call to passivity. It's not a call for accidental, que sera, sera, living, you know, whatever will be, will be. Oh, well, God, if God, you want to use me. This is a, will you take hold of the call of God for your life? Will you take hold of what God is calling you towards? Like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where he says, I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What's he saying there? Because it's kind of, whoa, what does that feel like? Basically saying, God got a hold of me because he had a purpose and a plan for my life. Now I'm getting a hold of God and I'm not going to miss one bit of it. Will we make that same choice? Will I choose to follow not man, not woman, not Elijah's call, but the purposes and plans that God has for me? The things that God has created me to be and to do. Consider this. Elisha had it good. And we're told that he had it good. He had 12 yoke of oxen, a prestigious family he came from. He's wealthy, he's comfortable. And suddenly this call comes to leave it all behind. Right? The writer of this story is trying to let us know Elisha had a lot to lose. There was a big choice here. There was a massive call on his life. But would he leave all of the stuff that was there behind? Again, the way this is written, it seems like Elisha could have carried on. It seems like Elijah could have come and threw the cloak over him, and Elisha could have went, not for me. And Elijah just would have kept walking. So Elisha has a choice to make. A choice, will I embrace this? Yes, it's sudden, it's unexpected, but will I embrace this calling that God has over my life? Again, let me challenge us this morning. What are we choosing to do? And what will we choose to do today in regards of the general call that's over our lives? How are we taking hold of those calls? How are we taking hold of the call to be holy? How are we taking hold of the call to love others as we love ourselves, to love God with everything within us? How are we taking hold of the call to fulfill the Great Commission? You see, because we, like Elisha, could have this option that the calling could come on and we just keep on plowing and just go on with life the way it is. Or we, like Elisha, could make the choice to say, let me say goodbye. And then let me get at this. Are we embracing that general call? What about the specific call? Do you know what God's called you to do and to be? Now, guys, sometimes that takes time. Sometimes that takes us to do a few things to, you know, have a go at this and then we find this is what God's calling me towards. Sometimes it's very obvious for us. But have you discovered what God's calling is for your life, even in this season, in this moment? Do you understand? And have you come to terms with that? Is it to be the best mom you could ever be? Is it to be the best manager that you could ever be? Is it in your school teaching job, or is it the vocation that you're called to, or is it something else? Do you understand what God is calling you towards? Have you searched out his heart so that you, like Paul, can take hold of everything that God has called you into? He has a purpose and a plan for our life, and we have a choice. See, Elijah wasn't going to bully Elisha into this. He left him to make the choice. What will we choose to do? And this morning, I'm challenging you as I've challenged myself and continually challenge myself. Will I make that choice? But as we do, consider number three, the cost. Because when Elisha received the call, he made the choice to follow, he counted the cost, and he gave everything. A couple of things that let us know that. He went to say goodbye. Now, there's a bit of a story in Luke 9, verse 57 to 62. And there's a story there where a couple of people come and they're kind of all full of themselves and they want to follow Jesus and they're, oh, yeah, they're all caught up in the momentum of everything and they're, oh, Jesus, we'll follow you. And Jesus says a couple of things to them. One of them, like, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's kind of saying to them, guys, if you're going to follow me, this isn't into riches, this isn't into wealth, this is into the unknown. You mightn't even know where you're going to sleep at night. This is what he's saying to them. This is into a life of uncertainty, faith, and trust. Are you ready for that? But one of them says, let me first go and say goodbye to my parents. And it's sometimes whenever we read this story of Elisha, we think of this, and Jesus rebuked this guy because this wasn't him just going back to say goodbye in the New Testament story. This was him going to fulfill certain duties and kind of be with his parents and kind of live life a little bit before he says yes to Jesus. It's kind of, let me go back and kind of be with my family for a while, and whenever it suits me, then I'll serve you. That's what the answer really is in Luke. That's not what's going on with Elisha. Elisha's literally, let me go back and say goodbye. Let me go back and just go, cheerio, I'm going to serve God. The calling of God on his life, and there was a cost. He said goodbye. He burned the plow and sacrificed the oxen and gave everybody them to eat. Like, this was his livelihood. And he kicks the plow to pieces, sets up a fire, lights it, sacrifices the oxen, and has steak dinner. He's burning his bridges. There's a story of Alexander the Great. And when Alexander the Great arrived on the shores of Persia, his army was overwhelmingly outnumbered. Yet he gave the orders to his men to burn the boats as their only means of retreat went up in flames. The legend has it that Alexander turned to his men and said, we go home in Persian ships or die. Burning your bridges, burning things behind you. This is what Elisha was prepared to do. There's a cost in following the call that Jesus has on our lives. And just as our call is different, that cost is going to be totally different for each one of us. But there's a cost. God calls us to give everything. So in salvation, again, for those of you who have never said yes to Christ, there's a cost. Salvation's free. We're not asking you for money for it, but Jesus says, I want your life. I want your future. I want everything that you are. And in salvation, it's not that we come to God with conditions or if, buts, and maybes. We surrender our hearts and our lives to him. And for the rest of our lives, we leave it all behind. What does this story mean? This idea of cost, what does it mean for you and me today? To say goodbye. It means to say goodbye. So, are there elements of our old life that need to be given the cheerio treatment? I'm not talking about the cereal. But need to be said goodbye to? Are there elements of our lives that need to be sacrificed and burned? Old habits, old sins, old attitudes? Or maybe it'll be giving up an element of your comfort, an element of, well, life's good this way, life's fine this way. I enjoy life the way it is, but being called into what God has for you might involve you giving up more time. It might involve just things not being as comfortable or as easy. It might just be different. Maybe it'll be giving up your expectations. And so for Elisha, his expectations were, well, I'm going to follow after God here. But his expectations before might have been, well, there's 12 yoke of oxen. Like, we've got loads of land. I'm going to inherit all this land. Life's going to be great. And I'll be wealthy. I'll be prestigious. I'll be popular. You know, I've got it made here. Everything's fine for me. And yet he walks away from that life. He walks away from the expectations that he might have had to follow the dreams and the destiny that God had. What does it mean for you and for me to count this cost and to follow after the call that God has for our lives? It involves the heart expressed in the song that we sing sometimes here in church, the cross before me and the world behind me. It says, whatever it takes, God, I will follow you. So my challenge And I put it to you, but it bounces off the wall and it hits me today. Will you follow the call of God on your life? No matter what you have to give up, no matter what you have to sacrifice, no matter the cost. If it costs you time, money, comfort, expectations, popularity, whatever it might be, are you still prepared to say yes to God? Will you follow the call of God on your life? Elisha did. And then comes our final lesson from this encounter, because we're left with a huge challenge. I want you to look at verse 21 of this passage in 1 Kings 19. So he's got this call, he's received the mantle. Wow, this is amazing. He's going to be the next prophet in Israel. But watch this. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. That hit me up the face when I was studying this out this week. Okay, so hang on. He gave up everything. He was likely the boss. He was likely in charge. He was likely the big shot in his family farm. He was likely the guy that everybody followed, that he just went, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing. Everybody follow me. He gives it all up to go and be Elijah's servant. Whew. That's a challenge, to be a servant. See, Elisha didn't leave everything behind and walk into instant acclaim. It wasn't like, I'll follow you, and then suddenly his name's on the Jerusalem Telegraph, Elisha to be the next big spot. It wasn't that at all. It was actually walking in for a period of time of obscurity, non-knowingness, and servanthood. It wasn't like this was the X Factor, where he gave up his security job so that he could sing on the X Factor and hopefully become famous and everybody knew his name. This wasn't what was going on. He gave up everything to be a servant. And this is a lesson that we need to learn, and we all need to process more and more in our hearts. We don't follow for fame or popularity. We don't do ministry for plaudits or prizes. We choose to follow the call so that we can follow in Jesus' footsteps. Remember the words that Jesus spoke in Mark 10:45? And he said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the calling on our lives, as we follow the calling that he has for us, is to be servants. We need to learn to serve before we get to lead. We need to learn to be in the background before we can be in center stage. We have to be teachable before we can learn to teach. They're all challenges for us to be servants. Elisha went on to do great things for God, but only because he followed and took up the challenge to become a servant. And in our fame-obsessed, popularity-obsessed world, where sometimes you ask some people, what's your ambition? It's to be famous. What for? Oh, nothing, just want to be famous. It's a challenge to us. That we would give our hearts, that we would give our lives, that we would give everything so that we could be servants. Serve him and follow in his footsteps. Can we bow our heads in prayer? So in closing, there is a challenge with this message. And the challenge is that we all have a call. And I find that very encouraging. I mean, it's one of the things that in my Christian life I enjoy so much, is knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for my life, knowing that we're on a journey just discovering what God has for us. We all have a call. General, to be saved, to give our hearts and our lives to him, and then as Christians, to follow the commands, the desires, the heart of God, to follow after him, to be holy, the great commission, the great command, all of those things. We have that call, and we have a specific call on our lives. Believe that with every bit of my being today, that as many people are sitting here today, God has purposes and plans for your life. But we all have a choice to make. Will I follow? Will I step into? Will I take up the mantle, the thing that God is calling me to be and to do? And in making that choice, we all have a cost to count. Am I prepared to say goodbye to things? Is God challenging me today? As I said, it's going to look different for everybody today. In this story, it was him leaving his family. This story mightn't even mean you leaving your front door. It mightn't mean that, but it might be leaving things that you've attached to your life behind. Whatever it might be leaving hurts and grievances and things that have gone on in your heart that are stopping you from stepping into the things of God. It might be you leaving those behind and saying goodbye to those things. But we have to count the cost, say goodbye, burn the bridges, as it were, of things that we would find it easy to fall back into. And we all have that challenge of becoming a servant in all that God is calling us towards. Father, I pray this morning. Lord, you've put this on my heart because you obviously want to speak to people here this morning. And so, Lord, as your word has gone out, Lord, I pray and we are reminded by your word, it never returns void. But for those, Lord, that you're specifically speaking to in this place, I know there's a general sense of, yes, we all have that calling, but Lord, I really sense like there's some people you're just really zoning in on and wanting them to grasp these things. Father, I pray that we would understand that you have a call for each one of us. Pray that we'll all make the choice, that we'll count the cost and take up the challenge to be servants of all. In Jesus' name, amen.